Hare Krishna. So tonight we shall read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service. I will read the Sanskrit and then we can recite the word meanings and verse in English responsively. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jivan Chavo Bhagavatangri Renum Na jatu martyo bilaveta yastu Shri Vishnu padya manujastu lasya Srasan chavo yastu na veda gandam Jivan chavo bhagavatangri renum Na jatu martyo bilaveta yastu Shri Vishnu padya manujastu lasya Shvasan chavo yastu na veda gandam Jivan.
While living.
Shava,
Shava,
a dead body. Bhagavat Angri Renum, the dust of the feet of a pure devotee.
Na,
never. Jatu. At any time, Martya, mortal, Abhilabheta, particularly received,
a person.
But. Shri, with opulence,
Vishnu Padya,
of the lotus feet of Vishnu, Manuja,
a descendant of Manu,
a man. Tulasya, leaves of the tulsi tree. Shvasan.
While breathing.
Shavaha.
Still a dead body.
Ya.
Who.
To. But.
Naveda.
Never experienced. Gandam.
The aroma.
Translation. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Please repeat. The person who has not at any time,
the person who has not at any time,
received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee, upon his head,
is certainly a dead body.
And the person,
who has never experienced
the aroma of the tulsi leaves
from the lotus feet of the Lord,
is also a dead body,
although breathing.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. So I'll stop here just to elaborate on what a ghost is. According to the Bhagavad Gita, there are 8 material elements: earth, water, fire, air, and space are the gross ones. And mind, intelligence, and false ego are the subtle ones. And then apart from the inferior energy, Aparaprakriti, there is the superior energy, Paraprakriti, which is the living entity, or the spirit soul. So our identity is as spirit souls, but we are covered by this body. Actually, we're covered by a gross body made of those 5 elements, and a subtle body made of mind, intelligence, and false ego. Now, at the time of death, the soul leaves the gross body, but it is still covered by the subtle body. And the subtle body carries the soul into its next gross body. The Bhagavad Gita gives the example that just as the air carries an aroma of a flower, similarly, the mind or the subtle body will carry the soul to its next body. And we get our next body according to our activities and our consciousness at the time of death. And God is kind. He gives us bodies to fulfill our desires. Whatever our desires are, the Lord, as the super soul within the heart, does not interfere with our desires, but he helps us to fulfill our desires, whatever they are. Now, how does someone get a ghost body? Generally, if someone commits suicide, he may get a ghost body, because the suicide means that he doesn't want a gross body.
So Krishna is very kind and he will fulfill his desire and he'll be free from a gross body, but he'll have his subtle body. Now, most people who commit suicide, not all, but most people who commit suicide do so because of being frustrated. They have material desires, but they're frustrated. Their desires are not fulfilled. And so out of frustration or disappointment, they commit suicide. And that puts them in a very awkward position because they have gross material desires, but they don't have a gross physical body with which to fulfill them. And therefore, they try to get possession of someone else's body so that they can fulfill their desires through someone else's body. There was a movie maybe 30 years ago called Ghosts. And I didn't see it, but some devotees saw it, and they believed that the producer or writer must have read Srila Prabhupada's books, because and then later they showed the movie on an airplane that I took, and I watched it. So in one scene, the ghost is like hovering on the subway platform, and there's a vending machine with cigarettes. So like he wants to smoke a cigarette, but he doesn't have a gross body. So like in his subtle body, he's like, he's so frustrated, he's like banging on the vending machine because he wants to get a cigarette. So ghosts are, they're frustrated because they have their gross material desires, but they don't have a gross physical body. And as I mentioned, they will try to gain possession of someone's body to try to enjoy through the other person's senses. The other way in which a person can get a ghost body is, for example, a person lives in a castle or a mansion or a palace, and he's very attached to that palace. So at the time of death, he may think of his mansion. But you can't get the body of a mansion, because a mansion isn't a body that the soul can get. But because he was absorbed in thoughts of that mansion, he was so attached to that mansion, he can take birth as a ghost in that castle. And therefore there are many stories of haunted houses, like big mansions or castles that are haunted. And it so happens that in the history of ISKCON, some big properties that were haunted were for sale for a very cheap price, because they were haunted and they weren't getting customers. So the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada what we should do, and he said we should buy the houses cheap, and then we can do kirtan, and by kirtan all the ghosts will go away, and then we'll have a you know, a beautiful big property without paying much for it. So this is what a ghost is. Now, there's the ghost is someone. Yes, and I should also mention this. All right, now we'll leave that for later. All right, so now I'll continue with the purport. So ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees who have no respect for the pure devotees, nor for the Vishnu deity in the temple, create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. So just as ghosts create a fearful situation because they are trying to get possession of you, and so non-devotees are compared to ghosts, and they create fearful situations for devotees because they have no respect for or appreciation for devotees or for the deity of the Lord in the temple. The Lord never accepts any offerings by such impure ghosts. In other words, the Lord does not really need anything from anyone. What he really wants is our devotion. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachati. That if one offers him with love and devotion a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water, he will accept it. But the ghost-like non-devotees have no devotion, and therefore the Lord never accepts their offerings. But they can become devotees. That's our mission, to encourage everyone to become devotees. And that process is explained here. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. Have you heard that? Like there's a saying, love me, love my dog. So like if say there's, you see someone on the street, you may not even know them, but you want to get to know them, and they're walking their dog. So like if you pet their dog and make friends with their dog, then the master will be pleased, and then you can strike up a conversation with the master. So the stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. In other words, the pure devotee is like the Lord's pet dog. So just like you make friends with the dog, and then after establishing a relationship with the dog, you can establish a relationship with the master. So in the same way, by establishing a relationship with a pure devotee, through your relationship with a pure devotee, you can establish your relationship with the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. That is the way of pure disciplic succession or devotional parampara. So So I establish a relationship with a pure devotee. Say, of course, let's say in my case, with Srila Prabhupada, who in turn established a relationship with his spiritual master, who in turn established a relationship with his spiritual master, and in that way there's a whole chain of spiritual masters who have served, who are pure devotees and have served other pure devotees. And that line or chain goes all the way back to Krishna, who's the original spiritual master. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Judd Bharat as to how he had attained the liberated stage of a Paramahansa. And in answer, the great saint replied as follows. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12.12. Rahuganaitat tapasanayati na chechayat nirvapanad grahadva na chandasanai vajalag nisuryair vina mahat padarajo bishekam. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service, or the Paramahansa stage of life, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, austerity, the Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of household life, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. And this is in italics. It cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees. And as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Das Anudasa, or the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord, who maintains the Gopi damsels at Vrindavan. A pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants, and thus the Lord becomes pleased. And only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaves stuck to his lotus feet. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotee. Once Srila Prabhupada illustrated this principle in a very vivid and dramatic way. I had arranged a program for Srila Prabhupada in Madras. And the Chief Justice of the High Court in Madras was very became very interested in Krishna consciousness and was very inspired by Srila Prabhupada. So the Chief Justice organized a program in an open grounds and invited many high court judges and advocates and people from the legal profession, very aristocratic people. And Srila Prabhupada spoke to them. We had kirtan and Srila Prabhupada spoke. And then after the program, Srila Prabhupada was invited by the Chief Justice to his home. And at his home, the Chief Justice presented Srila Prabhupada different valuable gifts, a nice sandalwood garland, and a silver statue, still silver little statue of Krishna. And while I guess his wife and others were getting the prasad ready, Srila Prabhupada was sitting with the disciples in the living room. And at the end of his talk, Srila Prabhupada had appealed to all of these distinguished people of Madras to join the Krishna consciousness movement. And he quoted the example of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Taptam Turnamashesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sadatu Chavat, that they were very wealthy and aristocratic people, but they kicked off all their association with aristocracy as if it was insignificant, and they joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So back at the Chief Justice's residence, Srila Prabhupada sort of took up the theme of the six Goswamis, and so Srila Prabhupada's secretary, Shamsundar Prabhu, and Shamsundar's wife, Malati, they had a daughter named Saraswati, who was maybe 3 years old. And so Srila Prabhupada held this little silver figurine of Krishna in front of Saraswati. And it was Krishna, so it was attractive, and it was silver, so it was also attractive for that reason. And her eyes were like fixed on that figurine of Krishna. And then suddenly Srila Prabhupada hid it behind his back, and she didn't know where it went. So she was looking. She was like looking everywhere, but she couldn't find Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada broke the silence and said, "Saraswati, where is Krishna?" And again, like she was filled with anxiety, like, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And she was like looking everywhere, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And then her mother said, "Saraswati, who has Krishna?" And then little Saraswati's face lit up with recognition, and she said, Prabhupada has Krishna. And then she like went running up to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada brought the Krishna out from behind his back and held it in front of her. So this is a very important principle that Krishna is in the hand of his pure devotee, and his pure devotee can deliver him to us. But we have to have that anxiety, that eagerness for Krishna, and then the pure devotee can deliver Krishna to us. So a pure devotee, therefore, never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants, and thus the Lord becomes pleased. The Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotee. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes that because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's very difficult to approach him. But one of Krishna's qualities is compassion. And Krishna's compassionate nature is represented by or embodied in Srimati Radharani. And therefore, devotees approach Srimati Radharani, and through her, they get Krishna's mercy. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily. Did you hear that? The mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. I'll repeat that. Once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. Now, how do we achieve the goodwill of the devotee? We have to serve the pure devotee. Oh, how do we serve the pure devotee? How do we receive the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee? So generally, of course the dust can be taken literally also, but generally, the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee means the instructions of the pure devotee. We serve the pure devotee by following the instructions of the pure devotee. And the pure devotees in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give two basic instructions. There may be many detailed instructions, but they give two general instructions. One is that one should taste Krishna consciousness, one should relish Krishna consciousness, and the other is that one should spread Krishna consciousness. One should distribute Krishna consciousness. And by that method, we will please the pure devotee, and through disciplic succession, Srimati Radharani, and ultimately Krishna. So how do we relish Krishna consciousness? Srila Rupa Goswami enumerates 64 items of devotional service, but out of those 64, five are most potent. Sadhu Sangha, associating with advanced devotees. Namakirtana, chanting the holy names. Bhagavat Shravana, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Mathura Vasa, that means residing in a holy place like Mathura Vrindavan or Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, or a temple where the deity of Krishna is installed and worshipped. And yes, Murti Shadanvita Sevana, to serve the deity. And Rupa Goswami says that even by a slight association of any of these five items, one can awaken ecstatic love for Krishna. Of course, the Bhaktarasamrita Sindhu says that the purport is that if one does so without committing offenses, then even a slight association with any one of the five can bring one to that point of ecstatic love for Krishna. And spreading Krishna consciousness, so that's tasting Krishna consciousness, and spreading Krishna consciousness, the same thing, making those processes available to others. Sadhu Sangha means we give devotees, or we give the association of devotees to people. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtana, we bring them the holy name. We go out and chant, or we invite them to the temple and they hear the chanting in the temple. Bhagavat Shravana, the same thing. We go out, we distribute books with the message of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, or we invite them to the temple where they can hear discussions of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And Mathura Vas, the same thing. We can invite them to stay in the temple or go on pilgrimage. Devotees often, there are many wonderful retreats and seminars and parikramas and yatras in Vrindavan and Mayapur. And Murti Shadanvita Sevana. Even seeing deity worship counts as deity worship. It is said that by seeing the deity being worshipped, one gets the same benefit as by worshipping the deity directly if one is unable to do the worship directly. So by these two methods, tasting Krishna consciousness and sharing Krishna consciousness with others, we can please the pure devotee, and the whole line of pure devotees, and ultimately Srimati Radharani, and then finally Sri Krishna. So we should take advantage of this opportunity that is afforded by this temple and by this movement, and make our lives successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
About the when we talk about the ghosts, they never go to Krishna worship. They want to stay in the earth forever.
Oh, he's asking about the ghosts. He's a compassionate person, so he's concerned. What about the future of the ghosts? What about the welfare of the ghosts? Well, the ghosts can also be delivered by Krishna consciousness, because the soul within every body is part and parcel of Krishna, and it can respond to the processes of devotional service. So even though a ghost just has a subtle body and doesn't have a gross body, but still it's a living entity just like any of us. And so by hearing the chanting, by any contact with devotional service, the ghost can be liberated from the ghostly body. And in fact, in Hindu tradition, there is a ceremony that the son performs for the deceased father, in case the father has the body of a ghost, and that ceremony can free the body, the father, from the ghost's body, and the procedure involves chanting of the holy name and offering the father prasad. In other words, you know what prasad is, that we offer the food to Krishna with love and devotion. And when Krishna accepts it, then the offering becomes prasad. It's sacred. The Lord's mercy. It's sanctified. So in this ceremony, the son will offer prasad to the father's picture. And by that combination of kirtan and offering prasad to the father's picture and serving the Vaishnavas, the father can be liberated from a ghost body if by chance he happens to be trapped in a ghost body. So there are ways to liberate those souls that are caught in ghost bodies. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? All right, so what comes now? Tulsi Arti. Well, we were just talking about Tulsi. Tulsi is also a devotee of Krishna, and by worshipping Tulsi and serving Tulsi, we get her mercy, and by her mercy we get Krishna's mercy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.